opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Your next piece of equipment is on MachineryPete.com. Search equipment from dealerships across the country to find what you're looking for, only on MachineryPete.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you're with us. Boy, unfortunate situation we're talked about there with Iowa Ag Secretary Mike Nagy about bird flu in Iowa. And as he said, 24 states, Davis. Good grief.
Well, and this just in, more info to come shortly on that.
Yeah, right. So heads up, keep a watch out there of your flocks. Okay, let's talk about ethanol and biofuels with Brian Jennings. Brian is the CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol, better known as ACE. Brian, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Hey, Chip. I'm doing all right, thanks.
Good. Brian, it's such a pivotal time for biofuels because there's unbelievable opportunity in front of us. Yet we continue to do battle against some of the misinformation and just bad research, like the study that came out of the University of Wisconsin not that long ago. But the bottom line is, they shouldn't be able to pick and choose which models we're using. Use the best model in analyzing how good of a fuel ethanol is or isn't, correct?
Well, that's exactly right. And I think what you're referring to is EPA is taking comment. It actually closed on Friday, but taking comment on updating the assumptions that the agency uses around the carbon footprint of various biofuels and right. Land use is part of that. And that's the University of Wisconsin study you talked about. And, right. You know, it's been a dozen years since EPA has looked at the models and the latest science. And I remind you, Chip, and your listeners that when Michael Regan was nominated by the president to serve as the administrator of EPA and Regan was going through the Senate confirmation process, his calling card was I'm going to follow the science. And so we're trying to make it really clear to EPA that there's no better time for Administrator Regan to make good on that than to update the modeling that the agency uses around the carbon footprint assumptions of corn ethanol and other biofuels.
So what is the model that ACE and other biofuel supporters want EPA to use?
Well, there are a half dozen or more out there, but we think the gold standard is something called the GREET model, Chip. And that was developed by the Department of Energy. It stands for greenhouse gas, regulated emissions, and energy use in technologies. It used to be transportation, but now they count electric vehicles, for example, and they do carbon footprint analysis on that. It's by far the most widely accepted model across the globe for determining the life cycle carbon footprint of various fuels. And importantly, the scientists at the Department of Energy update the GREET model every single year. So they take into account efficiencies that occur within ethanol facilities. They take into account how farmers have become more efficient over the years, for example, with fertilizer application, because nitrous oxide emissions is a very lethal greenhouse gas, and that gets counted in our carbon footprint. So the GREET model is really the only one out there that makes adjustments over time to reflect what's happening in the real world. And that's ultimately why we want EPA and frankly other regulators to adhere to it.
Brian, I think you might be asking a lot for EPA to use a real world model in figuring out what to do with ethanol going forward.
Yeah, sadly that may be the case. But again, I think we really are trying to sort of open that door that Michael Regan cracked open a bit when he said, when it comes to biofuels, I'm going to follow the law. We're still sort of waiting for that to happen.
Yep.
And I'm going to follow the science. And, you know, EPA's outdated assumption they suggest what? Corn ethanol is only about 20% cleaner than gasoline when it comes to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. The latest GREET model would suggest that corn ethanol is 50 to 60% cleaner than gasoline. And goodness gracious, Chip, even the California Air Resources Board, who administers the low carbon fuel standard, and we all know they favor electric vehicles over any other technology. They even suggest corn ethanol is cleaner than EPA does. And so EPA is really out of bounds. And we've got to get them to update their modeling.
What's the hesitation, do you think, Brian, for EPA to adopt GREET?
Well, one of the things EPA has said to us over time is, look, we've grandfathered all corn ethanol into the system. And so even if you argue that corn ethanol is 50 or 60% cleaner than gasoline, it doesn't really matter because your product still qualifies for the RFS. But it does matter because other countries look at EPA's assumptions and they say, okay, we're going to have a clean fuel program in Canada or Brazil, but hey, corn ethanol from the U.S. doesn't qualify because it's not clean enough. And they use the EPA modeling as the excuse. And so it is incredibly important that EPA update this. And because we're going to have these new clean fuel markets, hopefully in Midwest states, we're probably going to have one at the federal level someday. This needs to get done.
Yeah, absolutely. It needs to get done because, as I said at the start of the conversation, we've got so many opportunities. And if we can go out, if the industry can go out and tell that positive story about 50 to 60% better, cleaner, then that's the kind of environmental message that so many consumers are looking for, Brian. We need to be, the industry needs to be able to tell that story. It's imperative.
Not only that, but ethanol is the only low-carbon fuel chip that can get both to net zero and net negative greenhouse gas emissions. When you start taking into account these reduced tillage practices, which build carbon in the soil, the more efficient use of fertilizer, which reduces nitrous oxide emissions, and then you tack onto that carbon capture and sequestration, that's a trajectory to net negative that electric vehicles can't get to. No other low carbon fuel can get to.
Right. And we're going to be talking more and more about the push for net negative on carbon and ethanol going forward. Big push on E15 right now. What are the odds and how much help is it at the pump for those low-income consumers that Davis and I were talking about at the start of the show?
Well, on the latter topic first, this is an enormous opportunity to save consumers money at the pump. You know, the last several weeks, ethanol's traded a buck under in wholesale markets. We're a little bit less than that today, right? 75 to 80, 90 cents under RBOB. But you factor in the RIN value, we have E15 being sold in certain parts of the country for 30 cents or more per gallon, less than regular. You're saving at least a nickel to a dime per gallon in many markets, but more in others. And so the cost savings is gigantic when we're dealing with record high gasoline prices. You know, we scratch our heads about the Biden administration and seemingly looking at every opportunity and under every rock except for the one that's right in front of their face when it comes to dealing with this issue. But I think there's so much momentum building, right? In Congress, we have Democratic and Republican attorneys generals now writing EPA about this. We have Democratic and Republican governors. And our sense is that within the Biden White House, there are some that are resistant to this for various sort of strange political reasons. And so maybe Biden isn't unilaterally going to do something on his own, but in response to all of these requests from red and blue and purple states about how allowing E15 during the summer months makes so much sense, I think that's going to eventually sort of get the job done, at least for those states.
They've had several opportunities to mention biofuels as a way to bring down prices at the pump. And so far it's been a miss. I don't understand the hesitation to use biofuels to their advantage.
it's enormously frustrating to me too, because this is what I do for a living. You know, we have allies, right? Like Secretary Vilsack and others in the administration that are doing their level best to advocate for this common sense step. But Chip, we've also got folks that, you know, work in the White House and work in EPA. It kind of goes back to the first topic we were talking about. They mistakenly believe that corn ethanol is somehow radioactive material when it comes to greenhouse gas emissions or other issues. And so that sort of taint is coloring their view on, okay, let's allow E15 year round. And so it's breaking through that we've really got to do. And I think we will eventually get it done. Look, literally every Republican and Democrat from the Corn Belt on the Hill is pounding on the White House door right now. States are pounding on the door. Biden knows he's not doing enough about gas prices. And here is a low hanging fruit that he can pick and really do something in a meaningful way.
Yeah. You know, part of the effort or part of the issue here is that consumers are still so ready and willing to believe and accept misinformation that comes their way. But when the facts are presented in a scientific manner, they just choose to ignore it way too often. And that's got to stop. The ethanol deniers have got to come around, Brian. Hopefully that can happen and happen here soon. Man, good luck to you, Brian. Let's talk again soon and get an update, okay?
Very good. Thanks, Chip.
All right. Thank you, Brian. That is Brian Jennings, CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol. Davis and I will be back to wrap up today's first hour of AgriTalk in a moment.